be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Please be seated.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister, Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying,
"Master, the one you love is ill."
When Jesus heard this,
he said,
"This illness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him."
He said this and then told them,
"Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him."
So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly,
"Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him."
So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you."
Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise."
Martha said to him,
"I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day."
Jesus told her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
She said to him,
"Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying,
"The teacher is here and is asking for you."
As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said,
"Where have you laid him?"
They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said to him, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said,
Take away the stone.
Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him,
Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days.
Jesus said to her,
Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said,
Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me.
And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in cloth. So Jesus said to them,
Untie him and let him go free.
Now many Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord. I am cautioned to measure my words in this homily, since after communion, Father Albert needs a few minutes to make an announcement about the Vision Project, the future of Holy Family. So, out of respect and support for Father Albert, I will try to measure these reflective moments on the Gospel of John here. The raising of Lazarus is the seventh sign. Last week, you remember, we had the blind man and born blind, sign number six. Way back when, we had sign number one, which was the wedding feast at Cana. And this is the last and the greatest of all the signs. In all four Gospels, it's the greatest miracle. John calls it a sign. Greatest miracle in all four Gospels. Yet, interestingly, it's not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It appears only in the Gospel of John. That in itself raises all sorts of interesting commentary by the scholars. It's remarkable in many ways because it's not the first person that Jesus, or the only one that he raised from the dead. You may remember he raised the child, the daughter of Jairus, and he also raised from the dead the son of the widow from Nain. These are in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel, if you want to look it up. So he has raised two others from the dead, but this one is different because Lazarus is dead for 4 days. Now, in the Talmud, in the tradition of the Jews, the soul hovered around the grave or the tomb for 4 days. And after 4 days, the body and the face were so disfigured by putrefaction that the soul left. Therefore, after 4 days, Lazarus is not dead, he's really dead. I mean, he's gone. The soul is gone. Therefore, the miracle is seen as far more powerful, more spectacular, more impressive than any other miracles in the public life of Christ, the raising of Lazarus. The second thing, exegetically, we should look at is Rollheiser makes an interesting comment here. He thinks that Lazarus was a special person, some disability. And the reasoning for it is that he's said to live in the house of Martha. Well, in the patriarchal society of the time, it would never be the house of the woman, it is always the house of the man. And since Lazarus is named third, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, there's a presumption among scholars that he might have been a special person. That being so, the miracle of giving new life and raising Lazarus from the dead is all the more impressive and even a greater teaching, since the person who is raised from the dead is a special person. And the teaching of the moment comes from somebody that we call in our society exceptional. The next thing that we should look at here is that Jesus delays in coming. Now that's clearly something very important in this narrative. And when he arrives, the two sisters question him. They challenge him. And that's what I'd like to pause over for a few moments. The questions they have for him. Why were you not here? When we needed you, why didn't you show up? We've all probably asked that sometime in our lives. Where was God when I needed him? When I went through my crisis, where was God? And people have challenged the presence of God by saying, I don't believe in God because when I had a crisis, there was no God for me. That's what they're saying. We heard all the miracles you did, so why were you not here in our time of crisis? They have a question. The question becomes very, very important. In Elie Wiesel's seminal book called Night, he remembers that when he was very young and he had a spiritual mentor, Moshe was the beadle, like the sacristan or the caretaker in the synagogue. And Moshe teaches him this. He said, the question is far more important than the answer. The question has far more power in it than the answer. And therefore, the question leads us. The question is a challenge for us. It's an invitation to think in a new way, to discover God revealing in a way we have not seen before, only comes from the question. Monica Hellwig, this distinguished theologian, she has written about this, saying, to have faith is to seek understanding, and to seek understanding is to have questions. Their questions are necessary. Pope Francis says, there must be some doubt in a faith journey. There must be some question in a faith journey. He said, if you meet a person who has all the answers and is certain, then God is not with that person. Well, a strong statement from Pope Francis. We all have questions. I have questions. I meet people all the time saying, I don't agree with this in the church. I don't agree with that teaching in the church. Is there a place for me? Do you have a question? There's a place for you. A question is an invitation to grow. It's an invitation to discover. It's an invitation to learn. However, Moshe, teaching Elie Wiesel, said, I ask the Almighty to give me the wisdom to ask the right question. Which raises an interesting inquiry for us. What is the right question? And the right question is a question that seeks an answer. It's not a question that makes a statement. People say, well, I don't believe in that. That's a statement. It's not a question. The right question is the question that will lead us, make us think, make us consult, make us pursue a new possibility, a new understanding, a new idea. The right question is the one that leads us to a deeper understanding of the power of Jesus Christ. It teaches us how helpless we are, how empty we are. Questions only come from people who are on a pilgrimage. They're empty, they're struggling, they're wondering. Probably, questions certainly come from people we shut out of the church, people on the margins. People said, is there a place for me? Do I fit in? Very good question. So we must not overlook the visitation of God's Spirit and the wisdom of God revealing in the people on the margins of our community. The special person, and in the language of John's Gospel, of course, which has a second and deeper meaning, when Lazarus comes out of the tomb, Jesus says, unbind him and let him go free. What does this mean? Well, in the deeper understanding of John's Gospel, make him whole. He's whole. He belongs to us. He's the miracle among us. The special person is the miracle teaching us. The unique one becomes our teacher. The person we shut out becomes our revelation. The person we neglect becomes the visitation of God's love. So never fear the question. We all have questions. Sometimes we don't ask the question. The person without the question is a person who is paralyzed in the past. And we have many people who are afraid of something new. They have struggled with Pope Francis. He's asking us to think in a new way, to take a second look, and to look with the eyes of love. You will remember, I'm sure most of you probably read The Little Prince by Saint-Exupéry. And in it, the fox says to the prince, he says, I'll tell you the secret. And it's very simple, said the fox. You can only see clearly with the heart. The most important things in life cannot be seen by the eyes. You can only see with the heart. So when you journey through the day, do not fear your question. And look with the heart. Then you'll see something that the eyes cannot see. Jesus wept. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. A statement about his heart. He belonged to it. He could see what the others couldn't see. He could see resurrection. He could see new life. He could see beauty. He could see wonder. He could see miracle because he saw with the heart. It'll lead us through this day. Whomever you meet today, look with the heart. The people that irritate you, look beyond the obvious. See with the heart. Those who disagree with you, see with the heart. You see beauty. You see goodness. You see possibility. You see challenge. You see a question, an invitation to grow and to rediscover God revealing in a new way. Amen. I think for me, that's a short homily, so that's okay. So we'll listen to Father Albert when he comes up later. Life is good. I mean, we come to church not to be depressed. I mean, we come to church to find out it's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. See with the eyes of the heart, and you say, wow, the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. Count the blessings of your day. See the people that love you, the people that care about you, the people that worry about you. I meet these wonderful people all the time. You know, people are under the assumption that I have all the answers. They think I'm a wise person, and no matter what's wrong, your marriage, your life, your drug, whatever it is, they think Monsignor has the answer. Well, I don't have the answer. But I have the same question that you have. And we see with the eyes of the heart. We'll belong to one another in the journey. And now we'll pray.